God, I'm still counting my blessings. All that you've done in my life.
You are listening to a very special episode of Ignite Radio Live. In the next hour, you're going to hear some absolutely amazing talks that took place at the March for Life in Ohio down in Columbus. It is critical that we pay attention and come together at this time and have the heart of the Father in loving people back to life. Of course, it's important that we don't just rest in particular moments, but we receive the grace of God outpoured every single moment of every day. We invite you to join us in that great adventure at ilovemyfamily.us. If you want to hear some other amazing programs, go to igniteradiolive.com. And we are so grateful for your partnering with us in this full-time mission of families united in building the kingdom. So when you're at ilovemyfamily.us, click on that partner tab. Now, on with our program.
In prayer and acknowledge the presence of the Almighty God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Almighty and eternal God, giver of everything that is good, author of human life, look with favor upon your children gathered here and upon our state. You sent your only begotten Son into the world to be born of the Virgin. There were forces bent on dominating him that sought to destroy his life. He came forth from his mother's womb and proclaimed good news to the poor. He made haste to offer hope to all those in need, and he willingly gave himself up for us. He promised to send his Holy Spirit upon his disciples, and the Spirit came down upon the apostles gathered in prayer, and they went forth to proclaim the good news of salvation to the ends of the earth. Pour out a same spirit of blessing upon all of us, that we might go out to our brothers and sisters in this state, filled with apostolic boldness, to proclaim the good news of human life, of the human person, his origin, and his destiny, to not be afraid in the face of opposition, knowing that your Spirit guides and moves all of us. Help us to witness to the goodness of human life. Help us to incarnate in the flesh that our brothers and sisters are truly that, brothers and sisters, worthy of care, respect, and love. May our every breath proclaim this word to the nations, the word of life, who is your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, who is Lord forever and ever. Amen.
Oh, say can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars.
America. God bless you, Representative Miller. Next, we're going to welcome our first few speakers to the podium. I'm going to introduce them in the order that they're going to be coming up to the podium to speak with you all. I'm so thrilled to announce that joining us is first, is one of our champions in the government, Senator Christina Rogner, the sponsor of the Ohio's Heartbeat Bill. We will also be joined on stage by our own representatives and senators who are here to demonstrate their dedication to the protection of the unborn. These legislators fight every day for the rights of the smallest among us, and they deserve our support and praise. So join me in giving a warm welcome to Senator Rogner and our own legislators, and here they are. Representative Adam Byrd, Representative Jennifer Gross, Representative Thomas Hall, Representative Roy Klopfenstein, Representative Adam Matthews, Representative Millie Miller, Representative Kevin Miller, Representative Tracy Richardson, Representative Brian Stewart, Representative Swearinger, Representative Beth Lear,
So I am State Senator Christina Rogner, and let me be clear, even though I am the sponsor of the Heartbeat Bill and I'm proud to do so, life begins at conception. And while we appreciate the introduction and we are so thankful for the support, let me say all praise and glory be to God. We are engaged in a battle for the soul of our nation and for the lives of the unborn. And there have been there are three fronts that have been going on. One is the grassroots effort. That is everybody that is out there at a crisis pregnancy center, everyone that will talk to a woman that has a unwanted pregnancy, everyone that's holding her hand and encouraging her to make a choice for life, every mobile clinic that's out there so some people can hear the heartbeat. That is one front. The other front was the judicial branch. And for decades, we have been praying for the overturn of Roe v. Wade, on our knees in prayer, praying, God, will this ever be overturned? The third was here in the legislature. We were doing everything we could. And while we believe that life does begin at conception, we will do everything we can to save every single life. That is why I sponsored the viability bill. We did campaign capable, and I was the final sponsor of the heartbeat bill, but I didn't do it alone. There were many brave warriors up here, and you see some of them here gathered around me. It takes courage, it really does. I mean, you have so many people are out there opposing what you're doing, and they're loud, and they're nasty, and they're obnoxious, and the emails and the hate mail you get, I mean, it's intimidating. But on the back of my phone, I keep a verse and says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Of course, that's a verse from Philippians 4, and I look at that multiple times a day, all the time, because I know that when there are things we can't do alone, God can do. He strengthens us. So we've been those three battle fronts. The one we were praying for, Roe v. Wade, last June of 2022, couldn't believe it when we heard the good news that Roe v. Wade fell. And while that was awesome, what's happened now is that one battlefront has now exploded into battlefronts across all 50 states, so our work is not done. And what we've been doing in the legislature, and we will continue to do everything we can, we are now we need all of you. It's on the ballot, issue one. We have got to defeat issue one. There has never been a more important issue in our lifetime. Millions of lives are at stake. I'm reminded of a story. It's 2 Chronicles 20, I believe, where there's an army gathered, a huge, vast army gathered against the people of the Lord. And King Jehoshaphat is terrified, rightfully so. I would be too. They're sorely outnumbered. So he prays. He goes, "Dear Lord, help us. I'm afraid you're an awesome and a mighty God. Show us what to do." And you know what he ended up, what he did, what the God told him to do is send worshipers out. Not warriors, but people that would worship and glorify him. So they did. They went out there and they worshiped. And lo and behold, the vast horde, the vast army that was gathered against them was freaked out. They ended up fighting each other. And the battle belongs to God. The battle belongs to him. We know that. We will pray. And yes, praise God. So if I could close, because I know I've got a few minutes, you want to hear from all these folks as well. There are amazing people that are standing around me, and I am incredibly grateful for each and every one of them and their courage. But if I could just close, I'd like to pray for you and pray for us and pray for our nation. Heavenly Father, Lord, you are an awesome and a mighty God, and we praise you, Jesus. You've hung the stars in the sky, and you know every one by name. You know every hair on our head and every tear that we cried. And Lord, we cry out to you today, Father. There is a battle. There's a battle raging, and Lord, we know it's more than physical. We know this is a spiritual battle too, Lord, and we just look to you for strength and for courage. We know the battle belongs to you, Lord. I pray that you'll give us wisdom, each and every one of us gathered here, what to do, Lord, whether it's to get friends to come out and vote, whether it's to get those that we know at college that are far away to vote absentee, Lord, Lord, I pray that you'll strengthen everyone here. And Lord, I know the battle belongs to you. I give you glory and honor and praise. I pray for revival in this nation more than anything, Lord, that people will turn to you and will fall on our knees, will humble ourselves as a nation, and will pray. Because we know that, Lord, if we seek your face and we call upon your name, that you will hear us. You'll forgive our sins, and you will heal this land. And it's in your name, Jesus, I pray. Amen. God bless you all.
Amen. Don't we have wonderful legislators? Our Secretary of State, Spike Rose, is with us. And State Representative Angie King is with us. And State Representative Jenna Powell is with us. They're all with us. There are more with us than there are against us. To introduce Peter Range, Executive Director, come on, give him some, Executive Director of the Ohio Right to Life.
My brothers and sisters in the Lord, this is our moment. This is our moment as a pro-life community to tell the rest of the state of Ohio and this nation that Ohio is pro-life. But my brothers and sisters, let us not forget that God uses the small, ordinary things on a daily basis to make a difference. He used Moses' staff to part the Red Sea. He used David's stones to slay Goliath. He used Mary's simple yes to give us a Savior. He used the tassel of Jesus' cloak to heal a sick woman. God uses ordinary things to work miracles. We must do the ordinary in this election, and we will find out then that with God, all things are possible. So I want to invite you to do three things in these next waning days of this election. First and foremost, would you join me every single day by praying, fasting, and repenting of your sins? We are called to ask our Savior for forgiveness, for mercy. And we as a people of God need to repent. And we need to pray and fast to ask for His grace to flow down upon us. So join me specifically every day at 7:14 a.m. and every evening at 7:14 p.m. to pray in the spirit of 2 Chronicles 7:14, which says, "If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, pray, turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, will forgive their sin, and heal their land." Secondly, each and every one of us here must go out and knock on our neighbors' doors. Please do not leave today without signing up at one of these tables to become a door knocker, to become a phone banker, to get out there and share the dangers of this amendment with your fellow Ohioans. If we do nothing, we will lose. But if each one of us here together does all we can bring home a victory this November. Lastly, we just need your financial support. We need you to donate at protectwomenohio.com so that we can get up on air consistently to spread the message about the dangers of this amendment. So God uses small things. Last story for you. 5 years ago in the Diocese of Toledo, I took a few young people to the March for Life in D.C. We came back from the March for Life and the young people were fired up, inspired to be engaged in the movement. One of those young men took a pray to end abortion sign right to the abortion facility in Toledo. Stood outside, not in judgment or condemnation, but simply to pray. A young woman showed up that day. She went into the clinic. She came back out 10 minutes later, walked up to that young man and said, "I don't know who you are, sir, but I prayed to God this morning whether or not I should have this abortion. You are my sign today. I'm choosing life for my baby." God uses the small, ordinary, everyday things to work miracles. So go out, talk to your family, your friends, your neighbors, do the small things necessary, and we will find out that with God, all things are possible. Thank you so much.
Next, I'm honored to introduce Pastor Walter Moss. I call him Pastor Walt.
Man, we're thankful for Peter. As the president of Right to Life Action Coalition of Ohio, we work with the grassroots organizations throughout Ohio. And I want to thank all of you for being here today as we all stand for life. Amen. We all stand for life. Amen. I salute you today. And I'm so thankful and grateful, but I want to ask you, don't get weary. The Bible talks about in Galatians 6:9, don't get weary in well-doing. Don't get weary. Say that with me. Don't get weary in well-doing. Folks, we are in a battle for life. And the devil cannot win. I got a copy last week of the report from the Ohio Department of Health. And when I, 2022, and when I read it, in there it said, in the African-American community, we lost almost, there were about 50% of abortions in our community. That's genocide. In all communities, I don't want to see one baby destroyed. And so what I want to do for 20 seconds, I'm going to ask you to bow your heads. We want to be quiet. We want to repent. For every baby's blood that is shed innocently, that Lord God, you would forgive this nation, this state. Forgive us. We repent today. And we do want your help, as in 2 Chronicles 20. We do need your help to fight this battle. And the only way you're going to intervene, if we are repentant people. So we repent in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Let the church say amen.
Amen.
So lastly, I want you to know, we're like, I played a little bit of football in high school and college. I want you to know, it's like, I feel like we're in the last 2 minutes of the game. It was like Ohio State and Notre Dame the other day. In the last 2 minutes when I played, whether it was high school or college, man, we gave it our all. And I want you to know you gotta give it your all. We gotta vote no in October 11th, no on November the 7th. No, no, no. Say that with me. No, no, no. I want to say thank God for all of you. Thank you, all of you from Cleveland, Ohio, from Stark County, from Greene County, from Henry County, from Cincinnati Right to Life, from Toledo, all of you here in Ohio, from Toledo. Come on, let's give God a hand clap. Lastly, as Peter said, you got to be the change. You got to talk to your neighbors. You got to talk to your relatives. You got to talk to your friends to vote no. Vote no. Vote no. Say it with me three times. Vote no. Vote no. Vote no. Come on, give God a hand clap. God bless you.
Joining us next are two very special guests, Jeannie Mancini, president of the March for Life, and Aaron Bayer, president of the Center for Christian Virtue, the host organizations behind this march.
Well, hello from my friends here in Ohio. There are many of you here as I'm looking out. It's so, so good to see you again here for the second annual Ohio March for Life. The March for Life and the pro-life movement is made up of Americans from every race and ethnic background, every walk of life, every faith tradition. We are mothers, fathers, sons, daughters, Democrats, Republicans, and independents. But despite these differences, we are all united by one common understanding that every life is a gift and every person has inherent human dignity from the moment of conception. Do you agree? Friends, let's talk about where we are now in Ohio. It has been said that a society can be judged on how it treats its most vulnerable. Well, let's be clear. The unborn are the poorest of the poor. They are the most vulnerable. The unborn. Friends in Ohio, you have before you a cultural crossroads. You have a moment in 1 month to choose life or to choose death. Let me ask you, will you choose life? That was nice, but that was, you know, I think you could do better. Ohio, you're gonna be judged on how you treat the most vulnerable in a month. Will you choose life? Yeah! That's more like it. The stakes are high. All of the country is watching Ohio and what is to happen here in the next month. I'd even go farther and say that your wonderful state, the state that has protected life for all of its history, that has been life-affirming, has hanging in the balance in a short period of 24 hours, you could become the most pro-abortion state in our country. We are not over-sensationalizing here. We are not exaggerating what's going on.
No other video.
Every vote matters, and everything that you do between now and November 7th matters. Let me ask you, do you want to protect the poorest of the poor, the most vulnerable, the unborn in Ohio? Let me hear you say yes. Are you willing to give everything, your blood, sweat, and tears, so that you can protect the poorest of the poor, the most vulnerable, the unborn in Ohio on November 7th? Let me hear you say yes. Yeah. And to be clear, in saying yes, you're going to vote
no.
You're going to vote
no.
That's right. That's right. Okay. So thank you. Thank you, friends. So next, I'm going to ask you to pull out your phones. We'd like to help you do this even more powerfully. So I'm gonna ask you to hold those phones up. Every single one of you. Hold your phones up high. Okay, now what you're gonna do is text, right what's over here, you're gonna text the word OHMARCH, Ohio March, OHMARCH to 73075. To learn what you can do still to defeat issue one. Okay, so that's OHMARCH 73075. Open that texting app, type that word in, and send it to 73075. You will stay up to date on all the opportunities, but especially what's happening in this next month against issue one. We've heard it many times last night and again, and you're gonna finish this for me. With God, all things are
possible.
It's a state motto of Ohio. and it's what's going to happen in this next month. As I look out at this crowd today, I believe it. I believe it. I want to give very special thanks to our wonderful team at the March for Life for all that they've done for this, but especially to our next speaker, Aaron Baer, who leads the Center for Christian Virtue, and for his wonderful team in partnering with us. Thank you. Please know that we are praying for you, we are fasting, and we are with you to defeat issue one and to keep Ohio a pro-life state. God bless.
How you doing, Ohio? It's great to see y'all. Ohio, March for Life. Bobcats over there, stand up. Oh, you. I love you guys. Listen, I don't know if I'm so fired up right now because you are all here with me or because I've had two pumpkin spice lattes today. I'm feeling it coursing through my veins. Now, hear it all before you judge me. I know Starbucks has gone woke, but I'm going to take that caffeine of theirs, and I'm going to use it to save 30,000 lives every year, right? You got to get charged up right now. So Ohio March for Life, what I want to talk to you guys about today is lies and light. Lies and light. I'm thinking of John 1:5. That the light has overcome the darkness. The light shines through the darkness, and the darkness shall not overcome. We will overcome that darkness. Let me hear you say overcome.
Overcome.
Say overcome.
Overcome.
So when the abortion industry shows up in Ohio and says, you know what, we can do to Ohio what we just did to Michigan, what are we gonna do? Overcome. When the abortion industry says we are going to abort children all the way up until birth, we're not going to be silent. What will we do, pro-life community? Overcome. When the abortion industry tries to get between me and my daughters, my little girls, and they try to take my girls away so that they can get abortions without my knowledge or consent, me as a father, let me hear the fathers out there say, overcome. Let me hear the mamas say, overcome. Let me hear the kids out there say, overcome. Those are the lies of the abortion industry. But let me tell you this, you all are the light. You all are the light that will shine in the darkness in our state in this moment. And together we shall what? Overcome. So here's the three things that I know are true, brothers and sisters, the light of Ohio. First and foremost, what I know is true is that Jesus Christ is Lord. And he loves you dearly, amen? And he loves everybody in the state of Ohio. He loves those unborn children. He even loves those people right now that think it's okay to destroy a child limb from limb, to tear them apart in their mother's womb. We need to be the light in their lives to convince them over not just to vote no on November 7th, but also to understand that Jesus Christ loves them and died for their souls. The second thing I know is that we have to turn out to vote on election day. Let me ask you, how many of y'all voted, typically vote on election day? Raise your hand. All right, I am deputizing all of y'all. All right, we're not waiting until November 7th. We're starting to vote on Tuesday, right? We need to vote early, my friends. If we're gonna win this, we need the body of Christ to come together and go vote early, amen? Listen, I will tell you, you might have seen earlier today, or earlier this week, a group of 100 black pastors signed a letter in Ohio to say that abortion is a racist industry, right? We know the abortion industry has targeted the black community for far too long. That letter came about because Pastor Brian Williams at Hope City Church said, "It is on me to stand up for my community." And I know we've got brothers and sisters all over this march right now from all over the state. It is on you to stand up for your community. Here's the third thing I know. The media is gonna tell you we can't win. The left is gonna tell you we can't win. But I will tell you, we see the pathway to victory. And it starts here today. Because together we will what? Overcome. March for Life, I am so grateful for you. At Center for Christian Virtue, we are standing by you. We have tons of resources for your church to distribute at ccv.org/vote. Stand with us today. We will overcome this darkness and we will win on November 7th. God bless you, Ohio March for Life.
Don't have to wait till the battle's over. We can vote now.
If you've not done so already, make sure
to take a moment, pull out your phones, and text OHMARCH. OH March to 73075. Next, I'd like to introduce Aisha Taylor. Aisha is an author, speaker, trainer, and consultant. She's the author of Navigating the Impossible.
In 2015, I was on a service trip and I thought I had food poisoning. And after a few days, a fellow traveler said, "You may be pregnant. Take a pregnancy test when you get home." I thought she was crazy for making the suggestion. But when I returned home, I bought a 2-pack pregnancy test and the test was positive. I fell to the floor and cried, "Jesus!" I screamed over and over again, what was I going to do? I had just quit my job 3 months earlier to become a full-time entrepreneur. And yes, I wanted kids eventually, but not now because the timing just wasn't right. Plus, I was afraid to tell him because in the back of my mind, I knew that if I continued the pregnancy, I would be a single mom. When I worked up the courage to tell him, I went to his house and tried to steady my voice and deliver the news. I'm pregnant. I could barely get the words out of my mouth before immediately, without hesitation, he said, "It's not like we're playing for keeps," and suggested I have an abortion. I was devastated, but not all surprised at his response. About 2 weeks later, I went to the doctor, and the doctor confirmed what each store-bought pregnancy test told me. I was pregnant. The doctor performed an ultrasound to determine how far along I was and how the baby was doing. But it wasn't just a baby. It was babies, plural. I was having twins, and I was about 2.5 months into my pregnancy. Right there in the exam room, I broke down crying. Somehow I pulled myself together and left the doctor's office, and even though I knew my life would be forever changed, I tried to act like everything was normal and get back to whatever normal was. However, later, I was again reminded that he wasn't playing for keeps, and it was clear he wanted me to have an abortion. And I wrestled between what he thought was right and what I wanted to do, which was to continue the pregnancy. However, my confidence to continue the pregnancy lessened each time I listened to him tell me that I needed to have an abortion. And when I finally couldn't take the pressure anymore, I decided I would not cancel my next doctor's appointment. I wanted to see my twins one more time before I called to make an abortion appointment. But as I watched my babies on the ultrasound screen, I felt like I was failing them. And that's when it happened. One of my twins turned to face me, and we made eye contact with that ultrasound machine. And that look pierced my soul, and I became emotionally tormented. And as I gathered my things to leave the doctor's office, a nurse stopped to ask me, how was I doing? And I became hysterical. I was so distraught that the nurse asked me to see a nurse counselor before I left the doctor's office so I could calm down. The counselor was amazing. The best thing she did was listen to me talk, express my fears, and cry. Towards the end of our conversation, the counselor asked me to promise not to make a decision until I spoke with the therapist that she recommended. I agreed, which was the best decision that I ever could have made. And after that appointment, I began to get excited about the future, not just for me, but for my children and my business. And the counselor and the sonographer even reminded me to consider how birthing new life through my children would birth new life through my blog, FF Phenomenal. I wish that that was the end of my back and forth about whether I should have an abortion, but it wasn't. My desire to please him was so strong, and his certainty that I should have the abortion was overwhelming. So I grabbed a paper that I received from the doctor's office that had the name of an abortion provider and called to make an appointment. But God, the provider did not answer the phone. I ended up going to church that evening and heard the pastor speak about maintaining your faith during seasons of storms. And he said, never make a permanent decision in temporary circumstances. And that's when I realized that ending my pregnancy would be permanent, but what I was going through was temporary. I decided to continue on with my pregnancy. Once I made the decision, I knew I had to tell him, and I was terrified. And when I told him, he berated me. His words were so hurtful that I don't want to repeat them now. My self-confidence, self-worth, and self-esteem were shattered, and I was heartbroken. And even though I expected his response, it was not easy at all to hear it. So I called my mom crying, and through the sobs, I told her I was pregnant. And she responded in love and support, and it gave me hope. Now, don't get me wrong. Some days were incredibly hard and it was not easy. My world was never the same. And for a while, I struggled to stop crying and could find no peace. But eventually I made it. And that's why I wrote Navigating the Impossible, a survival guide for single moms for pregnancy through the first year of motherhood. I wrote this book so single women facing an unplanned pregnancy could find hope and a pathway forward during one of the most difficult times of their lives. Therefore, I encourage any of the women in the audience today who are experiencing unplanned pregnancy, what you might think is the end is just the beginning. What you might think is the death of your dreams is really the birth of your dreams. If anyone has ever told you that you will never make it because you're a single mom or because that you have experienced an unplanned pregnancy, I'm here to tell you that that's a lie. You will make it. Your kids will give you more drive, more hope, more passion, and more encouragement than you ever thought was possible. And what you thought was impossible is impossible because we serve a God of the impossible. And I want to thank the people marching today. Because of people like you, I chose life for my twins. And there are so many people like me who are going through this each and every day. And they need people like you to be in your path, their path, so they can make the decision to choose life. Thank you.
How great thou art. Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank you. Thank you, Aisha. Finally, I'd like to introduce you all to two dedicated advocates to the cause for life. Our very own Lieutenant Governor John Husted and Second Lady Tina Husted. Lieutenant Governor Husted started his life in a foster home before being adopted by his loving parents, Jim and Judy. Raised in Northwest Ohio's Williams County, the small community instilled in him the importance of faith, family, and hard work.
This is kind of a special time for Tina and me. We're celebrating our wedding anniversary tomorrow. You have anything you want to say, sweetheart?
I do.
All right. We'll let Tina go.
So, you heard John's bio, that he was... That he was adopted. And I think every day for about a wonderful woman by the name of Cheryl. Cheryl was in a very tough spot in her life. She'd already had two children. She lost her husband in the Vietnam War. And she found herself pregnant by another man. That man did not want her to have a baby. But Cheryl chose life. If it weren't for Cheryl, I would not be standing here today because she chose life and John Husted was adopted. And I am so grateful every day when I think of her and what she chose. I have on my license plate a Bible passage that says Phil 4:8. And I think about that passage every day, that we should all think about that passage every day. Whatever is true, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is right, whatever is excellent and praiseworthy, we should think about such things. Think about life. Life is excellent and praiseworthy. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for all of you today for standing up for life.
Well, Tina and I so appreciate being asked to speak today. It is a day that I feel so blessed. I feel blessed to be here, and as you just heard, I feel blessed to be anywhere, every day. I am here because my birth mother made a courageous decision to choose life for me. And I never knew about all the circumstances that surrounded my birth until I was in my late 30s. I always knew I was adopted, but I just didn't know what the whole story was. Because I learned all of this and never got to tell her. She died in 1996 before I knew all this, my birth mother. And I hope in sharing the story I'm sharing with you today that she can look down on this gathering and feel the love I have for her. Because I can feel the circumstances that young women find themselves in. I can feel it. She already had a three-year-old boy and a one-and-a-half-year-old boy. And as I learned that she had lost her husband somehow related to the Vietnam War and became pregnant from another man, and she couldn't support a third child, and he wanted her to have an abortion. He said he'd take care of her as long as she had an abortion. And imagine that decision for her. Imagine how tough that was on her. But she chose an adoption, and I'm here today. And so now you know why I'm here. And now you know why I feel strongly that we all need to vote no on issue one. We have a task before us. When the Supreme Court struck down Roe in favor of the Dobbs decision, it put the decision on abortion in the hands of the people of this nation, and in slightly more than 30 days in the hands of the people of the state of Ohio. And next week, the people of Ohio will start voting to render their judgment on issue one. That's what's at stake. And I know Frank LaRose, the Secretary of State, is here. I used to be the Secretary of State. Early voting starts on Tuesday, okay? Don't wait until election day. Go Tuesday to your Board of Elections, all of you. Just think of the powerful message it will send if all of you show up at the polls on Tuesday, you vote, you make your voice heard, and we get this out to a great lead early on, and we show Ohio where you stand. So this is important, what I'm about to say. We need everyone to understand this. This isn't just a law change, it's a constitutional amendment. The Constitution that people like me uphold when we raise our hand and we take the oath of office. And I certainly don't want this radical proposal to be in that Constitution. Do you?
No!
This amendment is not some middle-of-the-road compromise. It is a radical proposal that eliminates parental consent on abortions for our daughters and allows late-term abortions when the baby is viable and can feel pain. That's what this is. That's the amendment, and these are the consequences that stand before us in a little more than 30 days. This is important, though. Understand, to win the majority of the votes, because all the people of the state of Ohio, there's 11.7 million people in the state of Ohio, there are 6-7 million people who could vote on this issue if they wanted to. And understand, to win the majority of those votes, we will need people to vote no who do not necessarily agree with us on the policy of saving lives of unborn children. There are people who don't agree with us who we have to ask to vote no. And that's okay. We can continue to debate these policies another day, but the question before us over the course of the next 30 days is not what the policy should be. It's about persuading Ohioans that the policy should not be what's contained in issue one. Isn't that right? So I have a really important question that I think you can ask anybody in this state. Ask them this. And I'm asking you right now, and I want to hear your answer. Do you believe that the majority of people in Ohio think we should amend the Constitution to eliminate parental consent and allow for late-term abortions?
No!
And how should they vote? But that's what's at stake. That's the consequence. And we need to win over hearts and minds. We need to win over the hearts and minds of the majority of voters in this state if we want to defeat issue one. So please hear this, please, because we have to reach our brothers and sisters across the state to prevail on this issue. So we must persuade them that issue one is too radical for Ohio and that they need to vote no. And we must call on our better angels to ask those who disagree with us to allow their better angels to have them vote no on issue one. That's what we need. We need them. We need everybody in the state to understand that this proposal is too radical for Ohio. This is the kind of proposal that would become in the Constitution of California, not Ohio. We don't believe that our daughters should not have, that we don't believe that we should, we believe that we should be able to consult with our daughters before someone encourages them to get an abortion. We don't believe in late-term abortions where viable babies go unborn and can feel pain. That's our mission. Do we understand what our mission is?
Yes.
Do we understand?
Yes.
That you have to get out there on Tuesday of next week and make your voice heard.
Yes.
That's our mission. That's our calling. And we have 1 month to accomplish it. Can you get this done in 1 month? Are you going to double down? Are you going to work tirelessly over the course of the next month to make sure that this happens?
Yes.
And what are we going to tell people to vote what? Vote no! That's our mission. You know your mission. You know the consequences. And may God bless us in this endeavor, and may God bless Ohio. Thank you very much.
We're so grateful for your leadership. Now I'm thrilled to introduce our own Senator J.D. Vance, who represents the state of Ohio in Washington.
Hello. Wow. What a great crowd. Good to see everybody. This is better than coffee. I didn't drink my coffee this morning, but now I am fired up. God bless you guys, Ruth and CCV. Thank you all for doing this. Thank you all. Today, you all are marching for life and fighting to win next Tuesday. That's when the battle starts. We're gonna get out there and win it, ladies and gentlemen. I thought a lot about what I was gonna say, and I had some prepared remarks, but I read something recently that I really affected me. And I was reading, it was a story about archaeology. And about how they know in an archaeology dig when they have found a brothel. You know how they know when they found a brothel 2,000, 3,000 years old, ladies and gentlemen? It's when they find the skeletons of newborn babies. And you know why that is? Because whenever we allow powerful people to prey on women in our country or in our world, it's the newborn babies who always suffer next. We know that, don't we, ladies and gentlemen? Now, I've heard a lot from the Yes on Issue 1 campaign, and we are no on Issue 1, right? No, no, no on Issue 1. But I've heard a lot from the other side, and look, we know a lot of those folks are good people. They're just, they got the wrong priorities. But one of the things I hear from them, my friends, is they will say this is all about freedom. It's all about freedom. We just want people to have the freedom. And you know, if you know anything about my background, I grew up in a poor family. I've known a lot of young women who made the unfortunate decision to terminate a pregnancy. And every single time that I saw that happen, it was never about freedom. They were pressured into it sometimes from a boyfriend or, God forbid, a parent. They felt like they didn't have any options. They were worried that if they brought a baby into the world, they wouldn't be able to take care of it. Well, we are here to say that there is a choice. We need to choose life, and we need to fight for life starting this next week. But what does it say about a society? What does it say about our country when we tell young moms and young dads that everything comes before their own children? To all of my friends on the other side of this issue, I just gotta say, if there's somebody out there telling you that what's in your best interest is to get rid of your own baby, they do not have your best interest at heart. They are not on your team. We are on your team, and we are on the side of life and on the side of moms and dads all across our state. Now you have heard that what the other side wants to do is just go back to Roe versus Wade. Well, I gotta say, ladies and gentlemen, we know that is a bald-faced lie. They are trying to go so much further than Roe versus Wade. They are trying to make Ohio the most radical pro-abortion state in the entire union. They're trying to take the choice and the role away from moms and dads and how they make decisions about their families. I've got three little kids. And if, God forbid, one of my kids was dealing with a situation with an unplanned pregnancy, I'd like to be involved. I'd like my wife to be involved. Would you like to be involved if your children ever face that decision? Well, issue one takes the power away from you to be involved in the most important decisions in your children's lives. How is that freedom? How is it freedom to tell moms and dads to shut the door in their face when they want to help out their little kids? It's ridiculous. This is not about freedom. This is about control. Taking control away from moms and dads and putting it in the hands of bureaucrats and judges. Taking the choice to choose life away from our people and putting it in the hands of out-of-state interests. Now, the other side here, they say that they stand for the little guy. They say that they stand for people who don't have choices. But why is it that every single time you have one of these radical abortion amendments, it's always funded by the most powerful out-of-state interests in our country? If they stand for the little guy, why is their entire campaign funded by the big guy? They don't give a crap about the state of Ohio. They care about themselves. Sorry, I need a new microphone, I guess. I don't want to keep you. I know we're marching for life all across the Capitol today, and I'm with you in spirit. I'm glad to be here. I wish the best for us, and I wish the best for this cause. But I want to leave you with just one simple word of wisdom. When I was returning to my own faith, I was raised Christian, left my faith and returned to it. There was a good buddy of mine who once told me that despair is a sin. He was a person who was very influential to me returning to my faith. When I see you all today, I'm reminded that we are not called to despair. I know not a single person in this audience is despairing, are we? We are hopeful. We are hopeful and we're fighting for life, and God bless you for doing it. But this, you heard the Lieutenant Governor say this before, and thank you to John for your leadership in this. Thank you for talking for a really long time because I was late. I was in Toledo this morning and we hit a little traffic. So you wouldn't even notice it, but they told the Lieutenant Governor, you gotta talk a while to cover for JD, and he did a good job. But I want us over the next few years to remind ourselves that for 50 years in this country, unborn babies were cast aside. We told our society that everything, that education, that jobs, that everything was more important than the most vulnerable people in our society. It was a mistake, and we did it for 50 years. So over the next 50 years of the fight for life, I'd ask you, do not despair, ladies and gentlemen. Let's get out there and vote no on one. No on one. No on one. And after that, my friends, let's keep on fighting for life every single step of the way. To the women out there who are worried that they can't have a baby, we are going to be there to help you out. To the families that are terrified of the healthcare costs of bringing new life into the world, we are going to be there for you. For the millions of babies as yet unborn in this country, we are going to fight for you every step of the way. The next step is no on one, but there are many steps to take it. I'll be right there walking with you. God bless you guys, and thank you for having me.
Okay, thank you. So, to round out today's events, I want to welcome to the podium Pastor Jeremy Westbrook, who will close today's march in prayer.
I believe it was Jesus who said, "I have come to give you life and to give you life more abundantly." And I think it was one of our former presidents, Ronald Reagan, who said, "I notice that all those who are for abortion have already been born." And so we come together and we lift up our voices and we pray together for not just the voiceless to have a voice, but that they would experience life and have life more abundantly. Would you join me in prayer as we close? Hear us, O Lord, our God. We praise you that you are a God of life. You are the Alpha, and all things have their beginning in you. And so this morning we unite our voices in a cry, like that which was heard in Ramah, weeping with loud lamentation, like Rachel weeping for her children, refusing to be comforted because they are no more. We lift our voices to you and say, O Lord, hear our cry. We lament the loss of life today. We, God, hear our cry for the loss of life in this country, for the more than 63 million babies that have been aborted in this country since Roe. What a stain upon our nation. It's a number, Lord, that's too hard for us to wrap our minds around. We're overwhelmed by thinking of that much life that has been lost in just a generation. It's such a great number that we confess it can feel like just a number. And yet we know that you formed every one of those children. You knitted them together in their mother's womb. You know their blood type. You know their chromosomes. You know their very DNA because they are from you. And yet they are no more in this world. Our hearts sink, Father. Have mercy on our state. We pray for our state. We are thankful that there's the possibility of seeing no more abortions in this state. May we uphold your law given for our good that says, thou shalt not murder. Father, may your divine command echo through the halls of justice. May your divine command echo through the minds of doctors. May your divine command echo through the hearts of mothers. May your divine command echo through the souls of fathers and the conversations around the water coolers. And today and in the days ahead, we pray especially in the voting booths. Father, bring justice. We pray for those of wickedness. We pray that their funding would dry up. We pray their arguments would fall on deaf ears. We pray that their laws would be spurned. We pray that their clinics would be closed. We pray most of all that they would be convicted, that they would repent and live a life. They were once pursuing death, they would find the blessing of life. We long, Father, to hear the story of this abortion doctor and that Planned Parenthood worker and that nurse and this politician who has come to know you and to know life and to know it more abundantly. Father, we come alongside our parents. We pray this morning for mothers struggling with unexpected pregnancies, a child in her womb that maybe she didn't plan for, but you did. She may be struggling this morning, thinking of how her life will change. Perhaps the embarrassment and the sacrifice or the responsibility that will fall upon her. Lord, help these mothers to be courageous. Grant them grace to be merciful. Give them love for their children that are in their wombs. Quiet their anxieties and still their fears. Provide for them. We pray for the fathers who maybe even this day are pressuring, persuading, demanding, and funding an end to life in the womb of their wife, their girlfriend. Under your mighty power, humble them. Rather than playing God, help them to play the man, bearing their responsibility, leading in righteousness, and caring for the weak. Forgive us, Father, for those of us who have aborted a child in the past. Forgive us. We are thankful that Christ came into the world to save and grant forgiveness. Let us never doubt that. May our adversary find no foothold there. For those of us who continue to grieve over past sins, Lord, comfort us. May we not be like Rachel, who refused to be comforted. May you hear our cry, respond with your mercy, and wrap us in your eternal love. May we know the peace that surpasses all understanding. understanding and rejoice in your forgiveness this day. Hear the prayers of your children this hour for our state. Please, O Father, ensure that Ohio upholds life, human dignity, and righteousness as it goes to the polls in the next few weeks. We unite our hearts before your throne, O Father, for those of us who not only are the least of voices among us, but the voice of all. We pray all this in the name of Jesus Christ, your only begotten Son. And all of God's people said, Amen.
God, I'm still counting my blessings.
You are listening to a very special program of Ignite Radio Live. Check out all of our programs at igniteradiolive.com. And we encourage you to partner with us in this mission of discovering our nature in the Trinity and more fully living it in our marriages and families. Again, find out more at ilovemyfamily.us and click on that partner tab. Until next time, God bless you.